from Scarab 5, Columbia, South Carolina. You're listening to Rage Quit Radio, almost live.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess who's here? Yes, it's Chris Brown here at Scarab 5 for Rage Quit Radio, almost live. This is the first Almost Live convention podcast that I'm doing for the year of 2015. And so far, this is fun. Even though this is the fifth year Scarab has been around in Columbia, South Carolina, realistically, this is my first. So I consider this Scarab 1 for myself. And so far, it's been a fantastic convention. I hope to get a hold of Mike Brown later. He's going to talk about what happened on Friday. Because right now, it is Saturday. This is day two of Scarab. And yesterday, apparently, between Crispy, who was supposed to be doing it almost live, and Mike Brown, who is running a lot of tournaments here at this convention, had no time to actually give you the events for Friday. None of the tournaments on the prelims, the Speed Machine, stuff like that. So, as soon as he's done, we'll get a chance to get on that. And speaking of the devil, I'm actually seeing Crispy and Evan walk out to go get lunch right now. Both of them who are doing hopefully really good at this tournament. And what do you want? I don't want none of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for that. Stop. 2 minutes?
0-2.
0-2?
No,
0-2. So wait, my lap dance is coming soon, right?
Yeah.
Yes! Yes! All right, Crispy right now, if you heard episode 30, that Crispy right now is currently 0-2. So right now, my record, my prediction are right on top of things. I'll be getting my reward later. But first, before we continue on, I do have some thank yous and some advertisements for people who I've purchased some items and other glittery apparel. Starting first, I do have Henna and Glitter Body Art. They did this nice little purple Decepticon, nice and glittery symbol for me, and I like it. It's cool. Basically, Brian conned me into getting it. Brian Cave, for all those who are listening. And he went and paid for it. I just went ahead and got the body art for it. And I like it. I'll have a picture up on the Upstate Facebook page for War Machine and Hordes, so everybody can have a good look at it. Her name is Desi Conrad. She does fantastic work. She does custom jobs as well as any stencils, such as for Decepticons, the Autobots, Legend of Zelda, whatever you feel like having. If you're looking to see any of her work, you can go to facebook.com/HannahArtByDesi. She also has Twitter and Instagram at ArtByDesi. If you happen to go to, if you really want to see anything off those websites. If you have any questions for her and or anything of that nature, you know, you can email her at desi@artbydesi.com. Hopefully to be able to answer your questions, probably come up with new stencils, maybe some art that you may be interested in looking into. Next, I went and got a couple of plushies. One for a good friend of mine and previous boss from my old store at Walmart. And I got her a plushie doll for Luna from Sailor Moon that she was very excited to have. So I hope to give that to her hopefully on Sunday when I go back to Anderson. And I got that from a group called Tokyo Toy Box. They come in, they got pretty much anything you can think of for basic anime apparel, as well as plushies, accessories, stuff like that, keychains, whatever you're looking for in the anime-type world. They guarantee you 100% anime merchandise, toys and collectibles, actual licensed goods. And they are... Oh, looks like they're family about here by the looks of things. This is what I get for not reading the cards ahead of time. Taylor and Joe Abinante. Hopefully I said that right. They'll correct me later if they have a chance to come and interview. Right now, if you want any more information from them, They are TokyoToyBox.com. They also do have a Facebook page. Go ahead and check them out. Like I said, for your anime needs, that's really, really good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, at these conventions, you find all sorts of things worth your time. I found something that I went ahead and got purchased myself. It'll be here hopefully in about a week or two. I went and got me a wallet that'll have comic book clippings of Raven from Teen Titans on it. Hopefully the original work, or maybe even some of the five-season cartoon series, not that stupid Teen Titans Go crap they have on now. But we'll see what she has on hand for it. They're from Geek Forge. Their website is www.thegeekforge.org. They do pretty much custom bags, purses, wallets, belt buckles, necklaces, stuff like that, earrings, and they use actual comic books clippings and stuff like that from any DC, Marvel, whatever they have, and actually use it as their pictures for their wallets, their necklaces, their prints for bags, stuff like that. It's actually kind of cool, you know, they basically take the geeking arts to a much higher level. Their bags and stuff carry stuff like your D&D books, stuff like that, which is really nice. If you want to do whatever, although granted, I don't know why you need all your D&D books for a session. You might need a couple of them, not all, but it works. They do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGeekForge. They do have Twitter, pretty much twitter.com/TheGeekForge as well. Check them out, see what they got. They do take online orders. They do ship. She has told me most shipping takes about 2 weeks. So, you know, and none of this is really expensive. I mean, the wallet I paid for literally was $15, and I hope to see it, like I said, within 1 to 2 weeks, and it would be really nice. And so, you know, folks, I am enjoying myself quite well so far. I haven't been able to see much of the Masters because I'm out here actually doing demos for Brian. His demo guy decided he's not going to be here. So I'm out here doing demos for anybody who wants it. And so far I'm actually having a grand time doing that right now. And yay. Yes. It's good stuff. Yes, folks, I'm actually interacting with most of the people around. A lot of these people in cosplay, which you're going to see at any convention. Even though this is specifically a gaming convention, cosplay seems to be a big thing regardless of where you go or what you do in any moment of time. Seen Blake from Ruby earlier. Right across from me, I'm actually looking at a Pikachu. Saw Alice in Wonderland. I mean, it's typical con stuff, typical things going on. So for right now, until I can get a hold of Mike Brown and see what happened on Friday, or even Crispy for that matter, we'll see you all just a little bit later on today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Crit Radio, almost live here in Columbia, South Carolina, at Scarab 5. And right now, my host, the greatest man I've ever known, the greatest announcer I've ever known, which is probably a lie, but
laying down with a trowel, ain't you?
But ladies and gentlemen, I am hosting here with Michael Brown, who actually has been running tournaments since yesterday.
Yes, I have. And as I told you right before you started recording, it's very odd being a guest on Rage Quit Radio instead of hosting. But yeah, I am not here in the capacity of being a host for our show. I'm here as a press ganger for Privateer Press, helping run all the tournaments here this weekend. We had two tournaments yesterday. I ran one of them, and then one of our friends from north of the Carolina border, Chris Olson, ran the spell draft last night. I ran the Scarab Championship prelim heat, and then today we are doing the Scarab Masters here at Scarab 5. So lots of fun. We're actually on our lunch break, the first of possibly two breaks we're taking for Masters, because this thing could go five rounds on us. It's going to be a long day.
Five rounds? How many people are in it?
24 fell just shy of the 32 that we really, really, really wanted. But Scarab is happy with the end result. It is definite growth over last year's Scarab. Last year, the biggest War Machine tournament at Scarab was 8 players.
Okay.
So we have literally tripled that with Masters. I mean, people were planning to come here anyway, but I think the inclusion of Masters certainly helped. And on relatively short notice, we announced that Masters would take place roughly a month ago.
Yeah.
So it's the fact that this many people turned out from as far away as Raleigh. We've got people here from Charleston, from Myrtle Beach, Augusta. We have people here from Greenville, Piedmont, and of course, right here in Columbia, Anderson, Clemson. I mean, they've come from all over the place. And right now, I can tell you that the top six for the Masters is looking really good. But yesterday was a lot of fun, too. I know there's over 25, 26 War Machine players here at the moment that I know of.
All right. But just as a reminder, folks, this is day 2, not day 1.
Right.
We did miss it due to Michael Brown being the great.
We missed it due to me running events and then basically being dog-ass tired by the time the prelim was done, because I'd been up from 5 that morning, and then Crispy losing a lot, but still.
Yeah.
By the way, if you are in the Crispy pool at the moment, which you won't hear this probably until after the Masters is over, but as of round 2, Crispy is 0-2, so anyone that's got 0 in the Crispy betting pool is looking pretty good right now. I mean, he's got 2 left, so maybe he can pull one out. Yesterday, I do want to give some props yesterday to the folks that did come out and play and win some cool stuff. Spell draft, utterly ridiculous, a lot of fun. I didn't see most of it. I saw some of it and helped get everything started. And like I said, Chris Olson ran it. But top 3, and you can go to ragequitradio.blogspot.com and see the full results. But Lawson Bennett, who is part of the Raleigh, North Carolina crowd, if I'm not mistaken, third place playing Circle. Ridiculous amount of Bradigan I've seen this weekend.
Really?
Joe Marion, who's also out of that Raleigh crowd, came in second playing Scorn. And then James Lampson, the defending Carolina's Invitational champion, won Spell Draft. So there is that. And then the preliminary heat, just because we had so many people here that wanted to play and so on, we opened the prelim heat up to players, even those who have already entered the Scarab Championship.
Okay.
And just decided that the top 2 players who are not already in would move on. And
all right.
I'll give the top 4 here, because players 3 and 4 are the ones that are moving in. Matt Rathbone from Asheville, one of our friends from the Killbox podcast.
Excellent.
He was 4th. John Martinez from Charleston took 3rd playing Legion. Keith Creesa, who punched his ticket to the Scarab Championships at Mace West, I think.
Okay. Yes, I believe.
He took 2nd. And then Liam Piver, who is the defending Scarab Open champion, even though there's not an Open this year. It got replaced by Masters. But Liam Piver took 1st. So he won that. Going to be a lot of fun, and he's still in the running. I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at this. Here's the list for the players that are still in Scarab Masters with a shot at winning this thing.
Oh, wow.
Lawson Bennett, Joe Marion, and Liam Piver, who are all from Raleigh.
Yes.
Joe Skoda, James Lampson, and our dear friend Steve McCullough, Steve O, who are all from Greenville in Borderlands.
Steve O, really?
So yes. So it is right now. It is pretty much a turf war between Greenville and Raleigh. That's what this has turned into. And
it's still a north versus south bit too. How you look at it.
Well, to an extent. And the next round is going to be interesting, because 2 of the Borderlands players are playing each other. Steve-O and James Lampson will have to play each other.
Okay.
Liam and Joe Marion, who are both from North Carolina, have to play each other.
All right.
And then Joe Skoda and Lawson Bennett will be an actual Greenville versus Raleigh matchup.
All right.
So it's gonna prove interesting. this round, and then the next round could be the last. There's going to be a pair down, but it's been a whole lot of fun. And I actually got to do something that wasn't War Machine this weekend, so I'm pleased with that, too. I got to jump next door and play some DC Deck Builder.
Nice.
Yeah, I got the new Versus Rivals one.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I brought
yeah.
it with me.
Okay.
So.
How did that play?
It's really interesting. It's a damn sight better than Crysis.
In terms of difficulty or just...
Well, Crysis is the co-op version.
Well, yeah.
And there's not a lot of depth to it at the moment.
Okay.
They're doing another expansion for it this year, so I hope that adds. But then there's also, for the Versus, they add a couple of new mechanics to it.
Uh-huh.
It's actually one-on-one. You're actively trying to defeat your opponent. Apparently, they borrowed some mechanics from another game they've done, or I don't know if it's one they've done or someone else, but it's an NHL card game that they borrow some mechanics from, where basically on your turn you can confront your opponent, and it's as if you're trying to take out the supervillain in DC, except if you declare that you're going to confront, you can't buy anything. You have to use all of your power that turn to try to take out your rival.
Okay.
And then he can play cards out of his hand that say block that will increase his cost to make it harder to take him out. So, seems fun. And it's very quick because the main deck, if you're playing Rivals, is only like 98 cards.
Okay.
So it's really quick. It's actually less than that once you take out everything else. But yeah, it's a quick game. A lot of fun, though.
Sounds good. Actually, it's funny because I tried, you know, my legendary game, how broken and unexciting it could have been at times. Now, after like four expansions, somehow it becomes this, you know, decently well-oiled machine.
Oh, yeah. I've actually posted, because I'm starting to do reviews of a bunch of the board games I have on Board Game Geek, just post comments and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the review I posted for DC Crisis is, I'd rather be playing Legendary. Because DC Crisis is a competitive game where they tack the co-op mode on afterwards. Legendary was co-op from the word go, after a fashion. I mean, it was a semi-cooperative, if you want to use that term. But it was already there. And now with Legendary Encounters with Alien is certainly a better implementation.
Yeah.
But with DC Rivals, I actually think they're onto something. I hope they do more Rival sets.
Okay. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they did more Rival sets. So I'm not necessarily sure exactly which heroes they would do next, per se, besides probably, maybe Superman.
Probably
or,
Superman and Lex Luthor makes sense.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I know they're going to be doing a set this year for the Justice Society.
Okay.
They're going to do like these little things called crossover packs. I know they're doing a set this year for Arrow, the television series.
Oh, wow.
And then the next big box expansion will be Teen Titans, I've heard.
So, which would be awesome.
Yeah, so looking forward to it.
I wouldn't mind picking that up for myself. Huge Teen Titans fan. So, I don't know how much time you got left.
I was walking back and forth. I wanted to say hi, but you like business, and he's too busy.
was probably in there running all the Privateer Press stuff, doing the tournaments and such.
Running back and forth
like a maniac.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, unless you have anything else to add?
No, I got to get back in there and keep some of the social media stuff running, too. So I got to jump back on Facebook here in a minute.
Fair enough. Oh, look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Look at
that. We have the winner of I Drank What?
Yes. These beautiful... Wow, that's a really beautiful flask. Can I see that? I about to say, that is...
You should see the main prize when you get in the main tournament. This is only the entrance to get to the main tournament. The main
tournament
is a silver one, but it's this big.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's a huge flask. 64-ounce flask?
Yeah, you can go in there and look at it.
Hey, I told your buddies from Empire Games that you should be here this weekend.
So I might get into word with them later.
I did last year with them, and I came in third place on that side, but I got third out of those 12 people for the main.
Nice. Unfortunately, I won't be here to do the main tournament, so I'm kind of like,
Sunday,
I'm like, ugh.
But one guy quit, though, that was supposed to be in there. We should have had 12, we only had
11. I gotcha.
Because he wanted to do his Pathfinder stuff.
Gotcha. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we'll be here later on today.
You got it.
I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Quit Radio Almost Live 2015, and we are at Scarab 5 in Columbia, South Carolina. And today I'm joined by Empire Games very own Gentleman John.
Yes, sir. Pleasure to be here.
I'm about to say, you know, I miss it. You used to call me Sir Podcast, but now it's kind of like...
Oh, well, it's a fantastic name for you, I think. It suits you. Sir Podcast. True member of the nobility.
Thank you, sir.
A fine gentleman as well.
Indeed. Today, I caught a small glimpse of your new game, and I was wondering if we can...
Oh, sure. I'd love to talk to you guys about it.
All right.
It was developed by chiefly by Scott Messer, one of our lead game designers. And it is a game of drinking of a different sort. Instead of wine, we've gone after beer. The big idea with this one is you basically got together with your friends and you want to go and sample as much as possible from the Oktoberfest festival before one of your friends passes out. The bet with your buddies is whenever someone passes out, you know the night is over because you got to help haul them back to the room.
Ah.
So, you want to sample as many beers as possible before someone passes out. To facilitate that, you have beers of different strengths.
Yep.
And you judge the gauge of the strength of it by the number on the card. The number on the card also tells you how to do the score. Comes together nice and simple. And to try and make sure that your friends don't pass out if they get drinking a bit too much, there are cards in there called buzzkills. Buzzkills let you do things like give your friend some protein to help, you know, get them a bit sobered up, like the like bratwurst. Or as we like to say, when you're, you know, throwing that at one of your friends, eat my sausage. Or you can give them a good slap to try and sober them up. Of course, not physically, unless you are of that kind of friends. But it helps to sober them down a bit, get them a bit further away from being passing out, and keep going. So you keep playing down these cards, trying to get more beers sampled in front of you, worth the most amount of points. Whoever does that before someone passes out wins. It's a lot of fun, and each of the cards actually looks like a beer label, like they peeled it right off a bottle.
Oh, wow. Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Now, I hear this plays a little bit faster than I Drink What.
It does. I Drink What is a playtime usually of half an hour minimum, maybe an hour tops if you have a big table.
Okay.
Oktoberfest, typically you can get a round done with anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes tops. It runs a lot faster. Because, man, they're chugging those beers quickly. So, yeah, that'll do it to you.
I believe it.
And so. Also... it's designed for a smaller group, so you can get together with less folks. I Drink What has trouble running without at least four people. It's a big party game.
Yeah.
This one, there's no elimination, so everyone plays till the end.
Yeah.
And it can stew anywhere from 2 to 5 players. So if you have a smaller group of friends, you can get together and play it, no problem.
All right, that works.
Bit of versatility in your gaming library, something everybody needs.
I agree with that 100%. Is there anything coming up or anything new that you're looking into? Or
absolutely. We have a lot of new stuff in the pipe that we're getting out of there. We already have expansions coming in the next year, hopefully, for I Drank What. We just released Designated Driver.
Yep.
A new expansion that came out. We talked about a little bit last time.
Yep.
That is actually officially out. We have Amazon Store that is going to be online within this year.
Okay.
So people can get us anywhere.
Awesome.
We also are working on a few projects. Melee, a medieval slugfest that gets together with your friends. You can play it with a large group of people, just like I Drank What. And you're competing in the King's Tournament for a purse on that. So that one's going to be a lot of fun. It's on the way.
All right.
Yeah. And we have one in the works, which we're all quite proud of. It should be fun, called Pimpenstein. It's a game of zombie hookers and haikus.
I like it.
Oh, yes.
I like
still
it already.
Very much in development, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be hilarious. A little bit... You know, and we've already done the drinking angle. Now we're going for something a little bit different. So
that'll
it's
going to
be a lot of fun. We're also relaunching one of our early products, Way of the Fist, which is a great game.
Okay.
It's based on trying to recreate that feeling of those side-scroller fighting sort of games.
Yeah.
Where you try and fight for control of this of Piston City, this town, and fight the end boss to win the game.
Yeah.
And you do that by fighting together with your friends, learning new techniques and fighting moves to get better. But we wanted to make it even better, and one of our designers, Spanky, had an idea for trying to relaunch it as Way of the Fist Alpha Omega X, I believe was the name of it. So we're going for that whole retro feel. And we're going to relaunch it, revamp some of the rules and some of the cards to make them even better, and expand it to include even more.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming.
So for anybody out there who's either listening to this podcast for the first time or didn't quite get Mace's Rage Crit Radio, Where can we actually find more information from you, probably purchase some stuff from you and stuff like that?
Well, right now you can go to EmpireGamesUSA.com. You can find us on Facebook at Empire Games. We have Twitter, Empire Games USA is our Twitter. And also you can email us at EmpireGamesUSA@gmail.com.
Okay.
We are working on getting our Amazon store up, like I mentioned, so that means we'll be able to be bought anywhere at that point, which is going to be fantastic. And we're in more stores every day. In this last year, we've gotten into double the stores we had before.
Cool.
We're running more tournaments, trying to get more cons, make more people happy.
That's actually pretty good. So far, how your I Drink What tournaments, how well they've been going on?
Oh, fantastic. Much murder and mayhem as usual. You can always tell which table is ours at Mace or Scarab, any of the events we go to. That's the one where people are going, oh! Ooh! It's like, there's always explosions of like laughter and cheers coming from our table.
Oh, indeed.
Like, it's really cool.
Although, unlike Mace, where they literally had their own room, where we're all kind of bunched together in the room with the dealers, stuff like that. They are literally the first table in.
Yeah. So there's definitely advantages to both. We had a hell of a good time at Mace. That room off to the side let us shoot our demo, which was super cool.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate that. Here at Scarab, they've always been really nice to us. They gave us a great placement right at the entrance to the game room.
Yep.
So instead of, you know, now we have a place where we have access to everybody that's coming in. They all filter right past us. And so they look at it and they see it. So both places have been great. We had a wonderful time at Mace, and we really love the support they do. They are great for us. Scarab has been fantastic for us as well. And we definitely want to give a lot of appreciation to Jeff and Dell, all the folks who make this stuff happen. They are really fantastic at putting these things together, and we couldn't do what we do without them doing what they do. We very much appreciate it.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have time for now. We'll see you real soon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rage Quit Radio Almost Live. It is Mike back behind the mic hosting duties. Chris Brown has hightailed it back to upstate South Carolina and leaving us here in beautiful, picturesque Columbia SC at Scarab. And the Scarab Masters has concluded not even about an hour ago, and I'm sitting here with what is now officially the three-time winner of the Open Tournament at Scarab, and that is Liam Piver. So, Liam, congrats. As you put it, you got your turkey.
I got my turkey. Yeah, man. I got the three in a row.
You won the Scarab Open 2 years ago.
Yep.
You won the Scarab Open last year, and then Masters replaced the Scarab Open for this year, and you have won that as well. So, with an incredible final game against James Lamson.
Honestly, like, every single game I played today was hard, man. I'm not going to... It's like they were all like that. I feel like I played like just the top players from every meta like I could find. I'm like, oh, you're from this area. Yep, they gave me the top player. Great. Look for this. Second round. Oh, it's Minions, and he's an amazing Minions player. Great. You know.
Well, we sat here, folks. The Masters, we had 24 players for Masters. Which triples the biggest tournament ever for Scarab, actually.
That's right.
On about 4 weeks' notice. While I was a guest on this show about 6 hours ago when Chris was here, I was explaining that, and it was it's amazing because we've had players down here today from... we'll start with South Carolina. We've had players from Piedmont, Columbia, Anderson, Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Clemson, Anderson, Greenville.
That's awesome.
From North Carolina, we've had, Raleigh, Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg and Greensboro.
Greensboro and Asheville.
Yep, that's right.
And we've had Augusta, Georgia here as well. So, I mean, it has been from all over the place converging here to be part of this. We'll kind of somewhat, not necessarily, I won't rush you, but we'll go through five rounds of play, and as you put it, five hard,
they were hard rounds.
Rounds.
Yeah, man. I mean, I played Matt.
That's Matt. I think Matt Kapler.
I'm not sure
was
what his
that,
last name
Cotter?
Is. No, he's playing Crix.
Crix. Then that would have been Matt Rathbone from Asheville, North Carolina.
That's it. That's the guy. Yep. Matt was a great player. He ended up playing Gatsby too. I played Mordekaiser. we ground a lot. And with my mortar car list, what I try to do is I try to like pop the caster a little bit every turn if I can. And anytime he would like go off some of his focus to put down some clouds or whatever thing, I just pop his caster. And in game, I was able to, you know, nickel and dime him down.
You played Crix how many times today?
Crix twice. So it went Crix, Minions, Scrawn. So I played against Scorn myself. Legion and Crix again. Yep.
And Matt Rathbone, one of our friends, he's up on the Killbox podcast in Asheville, and hopefully we can get him down here sometime tomorrow to join us. Evan Woolbright, a friend of Rage Quit Radio, one of the frequent hosts of Rage Quit Recon, and he hasn't. I don't think he's been playing Minions especially long.
He did a great job.
But he's jumped in on it. Or Gator in this case, I suppose.
Well, for one, his Gators look great. I mean, they're really well painted. He did a good job on that. And that was nice to see all these painted models all over the place. And Evan did a really he was playing Rask, and he gave me a really tough game. I hit really hard with the list I chose to play against him, and I was able to kind of initiate the trade and get a lot in on my favor. So he, you know, I just kind of grind him down. That's what the way both my lists just grind, and they tend to be long games. Like even the last game I played, I think I played like 45 minutes in the game for myself.
Yeah, your clock had, I think, 12 minutes or less left on it.
Yeah, well, when I looked at it at the start of the turn, when I started trying to kill the caster on that game, I had like 14 and a half. It was just shy of 15, so yeah, that's about right.
See, that would be one of your locals, Joe, there, isn't it?
That's Joe. He's from the Raleigh area. He was playing Scorn. Joe played Xerxes too, and Joe put a nasty, nasty assassination list together, which is real easy with Xerxes too, because you ignite Mullock, you run him down the board, and turn two, he can charge anywhere across the field, right?
Right.
Because he's so fast with the Titan Gladiator and with mobility and the feet, because he doesn't have to be. He can be anywhere on the board in force, right?
Yep.
So, that was a weird game because I was playing Zal and I went up turn one and I just camped and kind of jammed and he feeded and got like 25 fucking points worth of models. I mean, he killed like half my army, right? But that's how Xerxes works, and you just kind of soak it and you try to keep the main models alive. And I was able to keep alive my Titan Gladiator and my
it was Xerxes too.
It was Xerxes too, right, on his side. And I was playing Zal and I was able to keep my Mullet Karn and my Titan together, and I didn't feat with Zal until late in the game, and I was able to push Mullock, rush him. He charged the other Mullock, right? But I'm rolling. I last standed him, so I had 46 to hit, 5d6 on damage. I hit him, sidestepped, hit another guy, sidestepped into Xerxes, and I had 4 bald attacks, and he was out of fury. He tried not to keep himself in that, but he had to kill box himself, and I think he wanted to not go too deep into the kill box and then force himself to run the next turn.
Because
it was like, he kill boxed himself, I get a point, so I'm at 3,
well,
and he's got to really... He get 2 for the kill box, and then I was going to walk up and clear the zone, so I'd be at 3. And then if he's still staying in the kill box, he's really got to watch it with Mullet.
That was one of, I don't know how many mirror matches today. I want to say...
Well, that round I played, so there was like 6 unbeaten that turn, I think. And so it was me and Joe, and then it was James and Steve-O. Yeah, so it was Crix and Crix and Scorn on Scorn, and then...
And elsewhere, I believe there was a Cador on Cador game.
There might
the
have been.
Round. And the other interesting thing, because that was the round that was coming up when Chris had me interviewing me for the show, and it was the final 6. It was really, really interesting. The top 6, it was 3 Raleigh guys,
right,
and 3 Greenville guys.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty interesting to see that happen. So we go to and Greenville goes up in that series. Greenville got 1 automatically because the winner of James and Steve-O
right.
was going to go.
Same with Raleigh,
and then the 1 Greenville versus Raleigh match was Joe Skoda and I believe
Lawson.
Yep, Lawson Bennett, and Skoda won that.
He did. He blew poor Bradigus off the board. What's up, buddy?
You playing?
I'm not playing Howling.
So it winds up, for your last 2 rounds, you're going to have to run the Greenville Gauntlet to try and win
and
the thing.
Both, I mean, Joe was a good player, and so was James, so I knew I was going to have a tough game. And Joe played Lilith 2 versus me, and I ran Zal, and it was destruction, I think.
Yeah.
It... I jammed with Ancestral. Well, I jammed with everything I had because I ran turn one. He moved up. He shot the crap out of a lot of stuff. I ran turn two to try to jam some stuff. He feeded. So I still haven't made an attack yet, right?
Right.
Or maybe I made one with an Immortal and missed. But my Ancestral Guardians and Hakkar were pretty much right in the middle of the board at that point. They were able to clear. They would have been able to clear a lot, but he failed to kill Moloch. He killed the Kreia. He's trying to get rid of Paralytic Aura for next turn. He left Moloch on like 9 or 10. No aspects were out because of how he hit him. I last-handed Moloch and shot him into his caster, and that was, you know. He's dangerous. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you got to watch out for Moloch. And with Zal, he doesn't miss. I mean, you last stand him and you feet. He's rolling 4d6 to hit, 5d6 on damage. It's just hard.
It's a ridiculous number of dice.
It is. And when you roll that much dice, I mean, you just spike all over the place.
Yeah. And then last round, James Lampson, the defending Carolina's Invitational champion.
Yep.
So, and Brian Cape, who likes to stir the pot a little bit here, pointed out to us, at the Carolina Invitational, if I'm not mistaken, you were the pair down.
I was.
And so James Lampson is on the undefeated table. You're the pair down.
Yeah.
If you win, it's you and James in the finals.
Right.
So it's the game we don't know who would have won.
Right. Well,
get here, and I've said this once, and I'll say it a million times. I think if you and James played 10 games, you'd split them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's one of those. I was playing Retribution. I had borrowed Chris's ret for the day.
Right.
So,
for those of you who don't know, Liam Piper is prone to whims of whimsy and whatever. So, you know, you will do just something to entertain you and your opponent, just something out of the blue.
Yeah.
I've watched you do it.
Yeah, I mean, like last year I played Seer Forge and went like I lost in the paradigm last year. but I went like 4-1 with them or something last year, and this year I went 4-1 with Retribution or 3-1 with Retribution or whatever it was. But they were fun. You know, I played Virus 1, Kalissa, and Virus 2 at the Invitational. I lost with Virus 2 because he's really hard for me to play.
Well, in this one, that was the game that I personally was very much wanting to see was you and James. I thought it was very fitting that it wound up being the last game.
Yeah, that was a good last game. Very good last game. He ran Gorshe 2 with like a billion bands. I think it was two max units with the UA of the...
Two max units of knights and one unit of... two max units of
thralls
and one unit of knights.
Yeah, and he was running the tier list, so he got like a free thrall attachment.
And the riders.
And the bane riders. And then he had like 11... He had three... of the pods of scrap thralls. He had like 3 points, which is 9 scrap thralls. He had a mechanic, which comes with scrap thrall. So he had like 11 feet fodder models, effectively, right? And he just ran down the board, and I was running Mordekaiser, and I cleared a lot, but I cleared his Bane Knights, I cleared his Bane Thralls, and I cleared his Bane Riders, his Bane Knights, and one unit of Bane Thralls down to one man and missed it.
And I thought that, I honest to goodness thought that was the game at that point for a minute.
I mean, if I would have killed that last model, because I needed a 6 to hit it, and I auto-killed because I had mini-feeded with the Praetorian Swordsman, and I rolled a 5 after a sidestep into it. If I'd have killed it, I think that would have probably been the game, because James would have had, like, just one unit left.
Right.
But being able to summon a whole max unit of, you know, a whole 11 Bane Thralls back, that really swung the game, and then every time they kill a model, they make a Bane Thrall.
I mean, it's a recursion match back and forth.
It was.
And that feet turn almost in my head, watching it, swings it back to Gorshe because you have that one massive boom.
You know, kind of. The only bad thing was none of those guys could actually activate, right? So he moved him. He positioned them really well.
Right.
And my next turn, I was able to clear
most
of what he brought back and then some other stuff. But, you know, James realized what was going on, and I think he knew that eventually what I was going to do was clear his Banes to the point where he didn't have anything left except for his caster, maybe his arc node, and then I was going to run to the zone or the flag, right, and just camp and just you know, start scoring 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, and making it with my infantry so he couldn't get to me.
Sure.
And so I was just going to, and that was my plan. I was just going to run over there and hide.
Yeah.
Hide from Gorshe. So what James did was James said, "Let's do this shit." He camped. He ran up to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I'm here. I'm Gorshe." And You know, I managed to kill him barely, but I did. I mean, it was really close. I headbutted him with a shaman, knocked him down, ran the spoiler over. I couldn't get to him with the spoiler, so I had to run him. But it gave me the minus two armor, and I just started, you know, I hit him with a few things, and I essence blast him, and that was game.
Yeah, it's that game had so many models just like, it's boom, they're gone. Boom,
they're back.
Boom,
yeah.
They're gone. Boom, and that game was very entertaining, very interesting to watch. You said something earlier in the day when you were talking about one of your other games, and I think it was against Joe M. And you played two Joes. What's
Joe Marion?
Joe Marion. I want to say Makati for some. Anyway, Joe Marion. I think you said it after you game with him, but I found it appropriate. I think for a few of your games, the feats on some of the casters you came across can be so debilitating. It's weather the storm.
It is,
and then go.
That's exactly right. In fact, it's almost like that for every single game, right? With versus Matt, since he's got Gorshade, I mean not Gorshade, he's got Asphyxius too.
Right.
I have to keep my caster positioned at all times so he can't slam him, he can't headbutt him, you know, because he had a hell diver.
Yeah.
You know, so as long as I kept him safe at all times, and that's not easy, right?
No.
The whole game, the feet won't just kill me, right? And so versus Evan, you know, Rask runs up feats. And then you can't do anything for a turn because you can't walk up and hit his dudes. You can't charge him. You can't shoot him. It's a better Kalissa feat, right? Because it's not even stealth. It's just you can't shoot him.
Right.
You know, Joe was like that with Xerxes 2.
Right.
Because Xerxes 2 basically hits you like, I mean, it's like a tidal wave with his feet. Because it's so much damage with Signs of Importance on Storm models.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. And he can feet to where, you know, he can put them anywhere. He doesn't have to worry about control, that 10-inch control. And Xerxes can just move away if he needs to, or the ride-by or whatever he has on Fate Walker or whatever.
Sure.
So you really – and then same with, you know, Joe Skoda.
Skoda. Yeah.
You know, Lilith, too, she's like that. I mean, I ran up two turns. It was turn three before I got to play against Joe Marion and Joe Skoda,
yeah.
Because they just – you know, turn one, I run. Turn two, I run. Bottom of two, Joe S. shoots the hell out of me with Lilith and just kills a ton of stuff. And it's like, can I take it?
Yeah.
And same with James. You know, James is back and forth. It's which one of us over time can take it. And luckily, my lists were designed where they could take a good amount of damage and still retaliate.
Tell us a little bit about the list, because you said this earlier, and I love this myself. But you're playing in three turns over the course of the weekend. You played the prelim heat last night.
Yep.
You played the Masters today. You'll be in the Scarab Championships tomorrow.
Yep.
You're playing Scorn in all three. You brought six different casters.
I did. I just like playing with my toys, man. I got like three full factions and some other stuff. Yesterday I decided to run 35 points. I was like, you know what? I'm going to run Moral 2 and Nareesh. People say they're awful. I'm going to play them because I like playing Nareesh a lot. And Morgul's just fun. I like his character. And, you know, and sometimes what
he's
you
not
do.
Bad.
He's not. He can threaten. He's got like a 12 inch charge effectively with Apparition, and he's a speed 7. So,
yeah.
And he's got Grievous Wounds and Arcane Assassin. So if you can get to a caster, you can kill him.
Yeah.
But I played against like Butcher 3 with him. So it was three flags. I just, wherever Butcher went, Morgul ran the exact opposite way across the board, 16 inches. It's like, it just run. Just stay away, right?
Right.
You know, and Nareesh is just something I like because I played Butcher 3 round 1, Butcher 3 round 2, and then I don't remember what it was. I think it was Striker 2. So it was almost like Butcher, right?
Yeah.
All the damage, you know, all the hitting power. And today I ran Mordekaiser and Zal, and I like these two guys. Mordekaiser has got a very good attrition because of revive, of his feet. He can essence blast and take out certain key targets, which is nice. And, you know, I got 20 tough models at one, you know, at any time on the board, right? Because Annihilators have tough, and I run Swordsman and I run Kiltari. And I like Kiltari with him because they can charge and hit things and then reform.
It's the first time I've seen Kiltari on the table, and they impress the heck out of me.
Yeah, so they jam really well, but on top of that, because of reform, I can have them do stuff and then reform for essence blast, which with Mordekaiser is awesome. I mean, that's really good with him.
And Blade Shield means they're a little harder to shoot off the table.
Yeah, I mean, they're 15 defense.
Yeah.
And that's hard. And then they're 14 armor, so they soak a lot of blast, you know?
Yeah.
They did really well. I was happy with them. I ran a lot of infantry for scoring. I mean, my mortar car list had three match units. One had a UA, so that's like 32 infantry models. My Zaw list had two max units. One was the Immortals. The other was Keltari. You know, I like the Keltari because CMA with Last Stand lets only the main attacker die. So, like, if you three-man CMA, only the main attacker dies. But on top of that, you know, both Mordekaiser and Zaw bring a lot of tools. So, Mordekaiser has, Banishing Ward. He has Hollow, which gives out Tough and gives him more Fury. You know, he's got Essence Blast. He has Ghost Walk. He's got a lot of cool abilities. And then, you know, Zaw brings everything that you need except for Pathfinder. And you know, I have a Titan for the heavies and I have Saxon Oryk for the infantry. So there's my Pathfinder, right?
Right.
But Zaw brings Hex Blast to get rid of upkeeps. He's got a strong gun. He's got a to-hit bonus, a to-damage bonus. He's got an armor bonus. I mean, Zaw is just a fantastic caster. His stats aren't the best, but it's whatever. He's got transfers. And he can transfer to Ancestral Guardians. And he brings a Kovas, which can be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, tomorrow the championships is going down. Lots of good players in that as well. It's basically going to look a lot like Masters did towards the end as far as when you start looking at that, who's there.
That's good.
Right now, Matt Rathbone got in through the prelim heat, as did, I believe, John Martinez, who did not play in Masters. He set out today. Lampson is in tomorrow. A couple of guys that you did not play, I believe. Tom Griffin, and I forget who the other one was.
I think I played Tom yesterday.
You may have.
Because Tom was playing Butcher 3.
I believe so. But it looks like if you hear loud noises coming from across the room of where we're at, folks, Highlander Joker's Wild is going on right now. And our fearless leader at the conventions here in South Carolina for the PGs, Brian Cape, decided that it was going to be on a water table. It's interesting. I may go over here and take a peek in a few minutes. But let me ask you this.
Yep.
Because we're going in tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be at least three more tough games.
Yeah.
A lot of new players out there that may be listening, because I've watched you do this before, and when I've been asked, I've heard the same compliment given to you by the people. The one thing that can be said about you is it is the basics are very good. The basics are very clean, and that once you have the foundation, you move on as far as the skills you bring to the table. One of the things I see when players are getting in the game is it's very easy to have that one demoralizing moment happen. The 11 Banes pop back up.
Right.
The Xerxes 2 feet smack you in the face. You know, so on. What advice would you give them? It's like, here it is. Here's that one moment where you know this could be the end of this game, but now what?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you learn something from it, right? I mean, that's all that matters. You know, I don't know who said it. I saw it on PP's website a long time ago, and I really like this for any game. You know, they said that the point of the – no, was it the purpose?
I know
the objective is to win, but the point or the purpose of the game, either one, is to have fun, right?
Yes,
and as long as you're having fun, it doesn't matter if you lose or not. If you lose, you want to learn why you lost and try to make it – you know, change your tactic or whatever. But and sometimes it's dice. Sometimes you get outplayed. Sometimes you pull off a crazy maneuver and it shouldn't work, but it does. I mean, there's all kind of different things. Sometimes there's a 12-inch forest in the middle of the woods and you're playing against Legion. Yeah. You know?
I feel like that was a dig.
a little bit, Mike.
They fixed that problem with Steve.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, just don't take it personally. This is a game. Have fun and you know, Try to learn how to do different stuff, and don't just play all your crap. If you've got a faction, buy the models and play them and see how they work. A lot of these guys will come in and, you know, they've played Magic or they've played maybe 40K or whatever. And, you know, you go online and you see those internet lists or net deck type lists, you know, forum lists, and you can easily get those on a PP's website on the big boards, right? But that doesn't mean, for one, it plays to your play style. Right, because you've got everybody's going to have a personal play style, or two, that you understand how to play it. And one of the problems with playing some of those more powerful lists, like the Makita 2 Mullet Khan Bullet, is it teaches you how to do that, but not how to do some of the basic mechanics. And on top of that, you know, when going back to basics, you got to learn how to charge the right way. You know, even today, and I didn't have a problem with it. I'd be like, hey, man, let's just move it over here. You can charge this way and that way, not the way you charge, because this is a banana charge, but you can charge this guy and this guy and get the exact same thing. So, you know, make sure your charges are straight. You know, when you drop the dice, make sure your opponent sees them before you pull them up. If you're going to flip the clock on tough, do it the whole game. Don't do it when you got 5 minutes left, because that's just a douche move at that point, right? Because your opponent's not trying to clock you. You've just not done it, right?
Right.
Just being courteous it goes a long way, and I think everybody did that today. Everybody was nice, and no matter how tough the games were, I mean, it gets stressful, and you can be like, that's a good game, but you might be completely burned out. And if you're playing in a tournament like this, I recommend every new player to come play in a Mace or a Scarab or a Gnome Con or a Storm Con, because you've got really good players, you've got new players, and you've got a ton of games you can get in over the weekend, right? Like, I played, three or four games yesterday, then there was like a weird spell draft last night, then there was five games today, and then there's a Highlander, and tomorrow there's going to be like three or four games, and maybe something else, and then probably something on Monday. You can improve your skill level drastically. You can lose every game, but you can improve your skill level 100%, you know, if you're a new player. And this is a way to do it, man. You get in and you get to play all these different factions, all these different people from different areas, and you get to see stuff that you might not normally get to see in the experience. And that's awesome, you know? So, and you get to meet nice people, normally.
That's one thing. We there was no douchebaggery that I saw today. We didn't have to deal with anything like that. Except for that James Lampson guy.
Damn that guy.
He's over there somewhere, I'm sure, licking tears off someone's face in Highlander.
Well, he does play Cricks. I guess that's
exactly.
Why, right?
The man who tried to steal the Masters trophy and then wondered why he didn't get any sportsmanship votes.
They took pictures earlier of us, and I hope somebody got it. I actually, Brian wanted to take one of just me with the trophy. And I was like, no, come here, James, because I don't think James got second, but, you know, final table. He went 4-0, right? Or 4-1. He lost me at the finals. I like the final table variant myself, because that's like the two guys at the end should be first and second. Yeah, that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
I understand shoot schedule. You know, it's what you want to use. But, so I got James to sit in on the picture with me, right?
Yep.
And so I'm holding the trophy in front of him, and he's like, it's mine. it's funny.
That'll be a debate for another podcast, because I think there will be a lot of different opinions on the strength of schedule versus final table rules.
Sure.
The person who's actually sitting to our left has a differing opinion, I do believe.
I think it also depends on the type of match. Like something like a Masters, you can almost guarantee the guy on the final table, the top two, have had really hard matches. You have like a 3-round tournament, maybe not. So I think maybe it can vary, but you know. I felt that it was a good final table variant right there.
Well, and one thing, I will say this, one change was we've been running the 2015 stuff all weekend, and I will say this, they have taken great strides to make certain things standardized in it.
Right.
Masters is standardized across the board now. There's actually no variations to it.
Okay.
It must be strength of schedule. It must use death clock. Well, the things like
the
that.
Only bad thing is when people drop in Masters. So, like, say you get somebody that wins like 3 or 4 games, right, and then loses the fourth game, and then they drop. And then the person on the final table loses all. If they're the one that beat them in the fourth round, and then they drop, they lose all the strength of schedule, right? So then, I don't know what the pros and cons are of that. Yeah, that's how it works. That is how it works, right?
You maintain the drop player.
Okay.
The earlier they drop, the more it hurts.
If the guy plays one and then drops out, you don't get any wins that they would have gotten.
You guys out already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got the jumper. So, boosted attack and damage once against me, and card jumper's like...
Wow. Hey, first in, first out, James, man. That's all it is.
Well, folks,
I finished. Exactly.
Hey, you finished. They better get theirs. You got yours. That's all I'm saying, man. It's like 3 minutes. That's a heavyweight boxing round, James. It's a heavyweight boxing round.
Well, folks...
That's right. It dings for you.
There'll be more talk tomorrow from Scarab 5. Until then, We will see you next time on Rage Quit Radio Almost Live. Thanks to Liam Piper.
Yep.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks to Chris, who's basically just been sitting over here kind of watching with a scowl on his face for part of it. But we will see you next time on Rage Quit Radio Almost Live from Scare 5.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Rage Quit Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/RQR podcast. You can visit us online at ragequitradio.blogspot.com. Listen to us on Podomatic, ragequitradio.podomatic.com, or find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can email us at ragequitradiopodcast@gmail.com.